In 2025, Americans lost more than $21 billion to fraud and identity theft. That's why so many people are turning to Aura. Aura helps protect your identity with fraud alerts, dark web monitoring, and up to $5 million in identity theft protection. And if you become a victim, Aura's 24/7 U.S.-based support team is there to help. Don't wait until your identity is stolen. Start your free trial today at aura.com/safe. That's aura.com/safe.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us, that's right, our love is American right.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Great to have you with us today on this, we're not going to do a five-day 4th of July Eve. All that to say, we're going to be live all this week here on the Todd Starnes radio show. I know a lot of folks like to take vacation time, but we're going to be hanging out with you. A lot of news happening across the country, and we're going to get to all of it today. Of course, the Supreme Court handing down some very disappointing rulings today. By the way, tomorrow could be the most disappointing of them all when it comes to birthright citizenship. We shall see. And not all was bad today. The president does, in fact, have the right to fire members of the deep state. So the Supreme Court made the right decision there. But when it comes to voting integrity, ladies and gentlemen, for me, this is the most important thing. And this is something that the Supreme Court completely dropped the ball on today. As a matter of fact, earlier today, there was a case out of Mississippi, and Amy Coney Barrett and the Chief Justice, John Roberts, sided with the liberals on the court to say that there is no such thing as a singular election day. And this is bad news for those of you who believe in voting integrity. This is a 5-4 decision. And the rule is that any mail-in ballots received after Election Day can still be counted. Now, here's the problem with that, and we're seeing this in California, for example, where for the first, I don't know, several days after the election, you had people like Spencer Pratt doing very, very well in the polls. But then every single day that went on, they mysteriously found, yes, more ballots. And at the end of the day, Spencer Pratt lost his race at the end of multiple days. And I think they're still counting ballots in California. So this is a very bad decision. Justice Sam Alito rightly pointed out that confidence in election results will be seriously undermined. And he's absolutely right here. And this is yet another reason why the Supreme Court has to, or rather the Senate has to, pass the Save America Act. But let me just say something here. That's not going to happen. That is not going to happen. The Republican senators, they loathe President Trump. And I'm just going to say this. I think many of them do. I don't think it's just a handful. I think many of the Republican senators, they loathe President Trump. They don't like him. They don't like the way he's been running the country. They don't like his jokes. They don't like his insults. They don't like the guy. They don't like him one bit. And they would rather put the integrity of future elections at stake than give him a victory here. And by the way, this is what happens when you elect Republicans in name only to the Senate. You've got a bunch of rhinos up on Capitol Hill. And I'll explain that in just a moment here. But also, this is what happens when you nominate fake constitutionalists to the highest court in the land. How many times has Amy Coney Barrett disappointed constitutionalists? How many times? And I doubt it'll be the last. Tomorrow, birthright citizenship comes down, and pretty much everybody is saying this is going to be a major blow to those of us who believe in being born an American citizen. So this is incredibly, incredibly disappointing. I want to go back, and I think we have some audio here from Sam Alito. This was during the arguments, the oral arguments on this case regarding mail-in ballot counting. Cut number six.
We have lots of phrases that involve two words, the last of which, the second of which is day. Labor Day, Memorial Day, George Washington's birthday, Independence Day, birthday, and Election Day. And they're all particular days. So if we start with that, if I have nothing more to look at than the phrase Election Day, I think this is the day in which everything is going to take place, and or almost everything. And then we have three points in time, 1844, 1872, 1914. And we can ask, what would people have thought on those days is meant by this phrase, Election Day? Which of those should we choose? Which of those dates should we choose?
Well, I think you could choose any of the three. I mean, honestly, I think the single best one, if you're just going to choose one, is 1872. And the reason I say that is because 1914 is the latest in time, but that's the one that Congress gave the least thought to.
All right, so there you go. That's Justice Sam Alito explaining that Election Day is Election Day. Now, look, just a few minutes ago, President Trump weighed in on this, and he's trying to ramp up support to get the Save America Act through the Senate. I want to read this to you. This is from the president and his True Social account just a little while ago. The president says, in light of the tremendous loss, and the president is calling it a loss, in light of the tremendous loss in the Supreme Court today concerning voters' rights and the fact that people's votes are allowed to be counted long after an election is over, it is more important than ever to pass the Save America Act, which is, one, all voters must show photo ID. Number two, all voters must show proof of citizenship. Number three, no mail-in ballots except for illness, disability, military deployment, or travel. The president says there is no excuse for a politician or otherwise to be against the above three requirements. There's only one reason to oppose: cheating. The House of Representatives have approved this vital act three times. The U.S. Senate seems unable to do so in a time when there is a powerful communist movement taking place in our country, one more dangerous than World War II. He goes on to say it's also more dangerous than Pearl Harbor or September 11th. All Democrats and our five Republican Senate holdouts, Lisa Murkowski, Susan Collins, Tom Tillis, Bill Cassidy, and Mitch McConnell, who, by the way, may be getting ready to head to glory, must vote to save our country. There can be no more excuses. So I want to say something here about this, and we're going to go to the phones. I don't think it's just those guys. I think there are more. I think there are more. These are the sacrificial lambs that were willing to put their names out there. I believe there are more senators that oppose Donald Trump. And here's the reason why. This is my proof. You say, Starnes, where's your proof? They're all coming out there. Mike Lee, harumph, harumph, harumph. Ted Cruz, harumph, harumph, harumph. Not one senator, not one, has called for John Thune to be removed from power. Not a single Republican, not a one. So therefore, every single senator up there is okay with what John Thune is doing. Not a single Republican senator has called for John Thune to be removed from power. Not a one. And that, ladies and gentlemen, that's the clue. That's ultimately the clue. And I do think if this actually went for a vote, I think a majority of the Republican senators would be opposed to this. I truly do. All right, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Whoever gave President Trump the advice to put Amy Coney Barrett on the Supreme Court, they need to be publicly named and shamed, and we need to know who those individuals are. All right, we've got to take a break. Going to the phones, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Hey guys, quick heads up. This is actually a big one. We're saying goodbye to something that's helped thousands of families over the years. The Patriot Power Generator, one of the best-selling solar generators of 2025, is officially being retired. And the reason? They've just released something even better. It's called the Patriot Power Generator 2200X, and this is their most powerful model yet. It's built for real-life situations, storms, outages, emergencies, when you need power the most. To launch it, they're doing something pretty crazy right now. You can get $500 off the generator, plus they're including two free solar panels, so you can double your charging power right out of the box. They're also throwing in a heavy-duty roll-in go-kart, an extended 3-year warranty, and if you're a senior or a veteran, you can save an additional $200. And here's the part that really stands out. Because they offer a payment plan, you can get started today for just $299, and it ships as soon as tomorrow. But this is a limited launch offer. It's first come, first served, and these kinds of deals don't stick around, especially with how unpredictable power outages have been lately. So if you've ever thought about having backup power for your home, now's the time to do it. Stay safe, stay prepared, and don't wait until the lights go out. Go to StarnsPrepper.com right now to take advantage of this limited time offer.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. Hope you had a great weekend. By the way, I'm curious if your local church, if you guys did any sort of big celebration or had some sort of a moment in the service where you celebrated America and you thank God for blessing our country. I'm just curious. So what you guys, you know, some churches did absolutely nothing. It was just a regular, normal day, nothing going on. Those are usually liberal churches, but I'm curious to know if you and your congregation, if you guys did anything to commemorate the big 250 coming up on Saturday. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. All right, let's go to Tallahassee, Florida. Nate is watching us on our YouTube channel. Hi, Nate. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. Thank you for having me once again. I want to ask your opinion on a matter that sadly has been going on for a while in this country. And then if you'd like me to, I'd give my opinion on it. I want to ask, what is your opinion on all these federal judges who keep overruling Donald Trump's agenda? And what can be done to stop that?
Well, one of the things that can be done is that there are opportunities to defund these federal judges. You can actually take away their money. Congress has that right. As a matter of fact, I believe it was Chip Roy wanted to defund a federal judge. And this was just very recently, Congress did not go along with it. But that's one thing we can do. Ultimately, Nate, I don't think a majority of the Republicans on Capitol Hill really want to move the president's agenda forward. I just really don't.
Unfortunately, that is true because rhinos have taken over a large part of the Republican Party. But in my opinion, I have a really unpopular opinion here, and I get criticized a lot for this, but this is totally within Trump's power. I think he should just flat out say, I am not going to listen to any federal judge who overrules his authority, because under the Constitution, they do not have that authority to overrule him. All the branches are supposed to be separate yet equal, but yet the judiciary branch has said some branches are more equal than others, and they think they can overrule it. Kind of sounds like Animal Farm, if you ask me a little bit.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you bring that up because you're right. I mean, now you have lower court judges that are literally overruling the President of the United States on pretty much every single executive order that he signed. And this simply cannot be. And by the way, this is the first time in modern political history that this has actually been a problem. So this, you have an activist judiciary that's engaging in lawfare, and they're trying to overrule the executive branch.
Yes, sir. I mean, let's say, for example, Trump passes a great law. He finally gets that SAVE Act passed through Congress and the Senate. And then you have a radical judge, or as I like to call them instead of judges, activist in robes in California who will immediately strike down his laws. Trump could get all of his bills passed, but then you have a judge who just automatically sides with the Democrats and don't care about the Constitution.
Yeah, and that's exactly what, and Nate, that's exactly what is happening. So again, Congress, they have the power to go in and defund these federal courts. They can take away all of their operational budget. They can reduce their staff. They can abolish specific lower courts altogether. They have those powers and abilities, but they are not using them. And the question we need to be asking is why? Why isn't Congress going nuclear here? Why aren't they nuking the filibuster? And the reason why is they don't want President Trump's agenda to move forward. I mean, that's ultimately the bottom line here.
I agree entirely with that. And I honestly feel another big issue is that they are afraid of the backlash because the woke movement has become so powerful and the Marxist movement has unfortunately taken over the Democratic Party. And I feel really bad for the very few moderate Democrats who are actually moderate. I mean, look at Senator Fetterman in Pennsylvania. I was skeptical of him, and he's actually stood up to him a few times. And look at him. They're trying to say, oh, we're going to primary you and get you out if you don't fall in line. That's bullying right there. They're just trying to bully somebody who's not a blatant Marxist like so much of the party's become.
Well, it's a fair point you raise. Nate, thank you for calling in, and thank you for watching us on our YouTube channel, 901-260-5926. Our telephone number, that's 901-260-5926. How do you deal with this, ladies and gentlemen? I mean, really, you've one theory, one idea that I want to posit here and see what you think about this. Because this is going to be a long process, all right? But hear me on this. If in fact we go through and the Save America Act is not voted on in the Senate, and if you don't have a single Republican senator calling for Thune to be removed from power, that to me tells me they're all on board. That every single one of them agrees with Murkowski and Susan Collins and Tillis and all the rest of them. Therefore, and hear me on this, I know this is going to be controversial. At that point, I say we vote every single one of them out. Now, keep in mind, you don't have the whole Senate up for re-election, right? So it's going to be two election cycles, maybe more. But I say we vote every single sitting Republican senator, we primary every single one of them, and we vote them out. It's Ted Cruz, Mike Lee, Bill Hagerty, Tom Tillis is gone, Tom Cotton, I mean, all of them, every single one of them. If these Republicans do not have the moral courage to stand up and call out John Thune by name and demand that he be removed from power, nuke the filibuster, and shove through the Save America Act, I say get rid of all of them, every single one of them. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. We have a crazy story out of California. San Marcos, California, to be exact. You know, the residents of a neighborhood there, and this is a very nice neighborhood, about $1 million homes, so very nice neighborhood, and they have a homeowners association. So over the past 30 years, you've had a lot of the residents, they've been hanging American flags outside of their homes, posting Old Glory during the 4th of July. Well, the other day, a number of the residents got warning letters from their homeowners association. And they said, you got to remove the American flag. And if you don't, you're going to face a $100 fine. Now, the Homeowners Association is called the Ambiance Owners Association. They govern the neighborhood. And they argued that the American flag, this is actually in a letter that was obtained by the California Post. They argue that the American flag represents a political view and would degrade the neighborhood. One of the residents, Amy Cook, telling the California Post, she was outraged. She says the American flag is a symbol of freedom. Now, some of you might be saying here, well, you know, it's a homeowners association. Doesn't matter. If they've been able to post their flags for 30 years, what changed? Well, I'll tell you what changed. When Donald Trump got reelected, the Homeowners Association went bonkers crazy, TDS, Trump Derangement Syndrome. And they started a crackdown. Now, we understand that Steve Hilton, who is running for governor in California, has already jumped into the fray, says, what's wrong with these people? We are just about to celebrate the 250th birthday of the country, And one of the most beautiful things that we have is to raise an American flag to show our support. So anyway, Hilton's telling everybody in the neighborhood to ignore the Homeowners Association and also put out not one, not two, but three flags in your front yard. What would you do, ladies and gentlemen? 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Did you know there's an investment account that's been around since 1888 and most people have never heard about it until recently? It's not stocks, it's not crypto, it's a trust that was created over a century ago and it's been averaging 29% returns for the past 25 years. To put that into perspective, it beat Apple, it beat Amazon, it beat Microsoft over that same period. BlackRock has over $2 billion parked here. JP Morgan, Bank of America, some of the biggest banks in the world have been quietly using this for decades, and they've never mentioned it to regular people. There are no commercials, no billboards, nothing, and literally anyone can start. You just need a few hundred dollars. There's a free video that explains exactly what it is and how to access it, and it's 100% worth your time. Go to myaccount29.com to check it out. That's myaccount, the numbers 29.com. Myaccount29.com.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. Very, very busy news day. Our telephone number, by the way, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. So some very exciting news that broke on Friday after this show had gone off the air. We told you that Texas educators, the State Board of Education, was looking at mandating Bible reading for students. And now we can tell you that that particular resolution did, in fact, pass, and students from K through 12 will be reading passages of the Bible and Bible stories in some capacity during their education in the public taxpayer-funded school system in Texas. Well, here to talk all about that and a few other topics is our good friend. He is the pastor of the First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, Jeff Shreve. Jeff, good to have you with us today.
Todd, thanks so much for having me.
And Jeff, we're going to get that echo worked out here. I think we've got it worked out there. Jeff, first of all, I have to say, what a great Sunday yesterday. You had invited me to be a part of the services and to speak yesterday at First Baptist Texarkana. You guys, what a fired up congregation. And man, they sure do have a lot. You have a lot of patriots in the congregation.
Yeah, and we really enjoyed you being there, Todd. It was a great, great Sunday. I appreciated you taking the time to drive over from Memphis and had a good time being together. And I got to introduce you to Texas barbecue, Todd.
You did. And I have to tell you, I was telling our staff about this earlier. I had never been to a barbecue restaurant that actually had a piano player. Normally, you know, here in the Memphis area, our barbecue joints are guarded by armed men. But it was really quite something. A great piano player, too, by the way.
Yeah, it really was. Well, as far as the topic on the teaching the Bible in Texas public schools, I think that is great. You know, I've been online and looked at the usual suspects that are all upset about the separation of church and state and blah, blah, blah. And the founding fathers would not want this. Obviously, the founding fathers didn't have a problem with that because we'd been teaching the Bible in public schools since the 1600s. If they had a problem with it, they would have said something when they constructed the Constitution, but they thought that was a good thing, not a bad thing.
Well, it's an interesting point you raised, and I shared this yesterday, that for over 300 years, the Bible was the way that and was the specific book they used to teach children, boys and girls, how to read in those classrooms. Not only that, Thomas Jefferson, when he was president of the school board in Washington, D.C., not only signed off on the Bible, but also a book of hymns to teach children how to read. So to your point, we have a long and storied history, and really what Texas did was return back to the foundational roots of our country.
Yeah. Well, I did a program today, Todd, on AFR, and I said I entitled it Hooray for Texas, because Texas is leading the way in some of these instances. And we desperately need to get back to teaching young people about the Bible and the stories in the Bible, the true stories, obviously, in the Bible, and get them back into a biblical understanding of things. I appreciated the fact that you said at First Baptist Texarkana yesterday that you make no bones about the fact that you share news from a biblical worldview. And we sadly have gotten away from a biblical worldview. We desperately need to return to that.
You know, I think a lot of people were surprised that, you folks in Texas, of all places, were having to deal with these kinds of issues. And yet it certainly appears as though, change is coming. And I'm really excited to reintroduce boys and girls there in the great state of Texas to some of the great cherished Bible stories of old.
Yeah, and you know, those that say, well, that's establishing a religion. That's not establishing a religion. That's teaching the Bible and you know, encouraging people to understand these stories that we all in our generation, Todd, we grew up on those stories. We know about those stories, but kids today, they don't know about David and Goliath. They don't know about the walls of Jericho coming down. Things that we just took for granted, they don't know those things unless we teach them.
I'm wondering, as we sort of segue into politics, there you've got the huge Senate race, James Tallarico, the Presbyterian theologian, and the guys all about trans rights. I'm just curious, how is that actually playing among the voters there in Texas, his far-left religious beliefs?
Well, I would hope it's not playing well. That guy is horrible. You'd rather have somebody that just has no religious affiliation at all than somebody that perverts the gospel. I've always likened it to this, Todd. You know, way back when in the 80s, where you had the person that was putting cyanide in the Tylenol capsules, that is a horrible, evil person that would do that, because you're deceiving people. They're thinking they're taking something that's going to make them better, and it ends up killing them. Somebody that hijacks the truth of Scripture, poisons it. As Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, if we are an angel from heaven, should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which you receive from us, let him be eternally condemned. Let him be anathema.
There does seem to be something going on there where it appears as though the LGBT movement, and specifically the transgender wing of it, I think more so than anyone else, they're going out of their way to attack the church, to attack belief systems. I want to play some audio here. This is Senator Raphael Warnock, who is the Democrat senator from Georgia, but he's also a pastor, a very prominent pastor. And here's what he had to say, calling the church homophobic. Let's take a listen.
We Christian folk have been blind to our bigotry, to the ways in which we are inhospitable to those who have another way to the center. And then Jews and Muslims and Hindus and Sikhs and others had to stand up and say, we too know something about the glory of God. We talked about equal protection under the law while marginalizing members of the LGBTQ community. But then they found their voice and said, we too know something about the glory of God. It takes all of us to see the glory of God. So we have to push hard against bigotry and racism, anti-Semitism, transphobia, xenophobia in all of its forms, because it is violence not only against humanity, but against divinity. It is an offense to the glory of God.
All right, Dr. Shreve, you heard Pastor Warnock there. Well, what say you to what he had to say?
Well, I think of Isaiah 5:20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. That guy is poison. He's putting cyanide in the Tylenol capsules, along with other pastors that that say the kind of stuff that he says. You know, Todd, you think about Elijah on Mount Carmel against the prophets of Baal. He's not teaching the people how to be more accepting of the prophets of Baal and of Baal worship. He's calling them out. They're false. He ends up killing them all when God shows up with fire. And obviously, we don't do that. Vengeance is the Lord's. But it's what you shared yesterday at First Baptist Texarkana. We have to get in. We have to be the man in the arena, as pastors especially, but as just everyday Christians. We have to stand up and speak up for what's true. That guy is a false prophet.
Dr. Jeff Shreve is joining us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. He's the pastor of the First Baptist Church in Texarkana. His website, by the way, fromhisheart.org. Many of you listen to Dr. Shreve on American Family Radio, fromhisheart.org. You know, one of the things that I was so impressed with yesterday at the church, Dr. Shreve, is you've got a congregation that is involved. They're engaged in the community. And I'm wondering, how important is that to the health of cities like Texarkana to have a church that is engaged and in the public marketplace?
Well, I think it's critically important, and we welcome everybody into our church. I say this often, Todd, if you're struggling with same-sex attraction, we want you to come to First Baptist Texarkana. If you're struggling with your gender, we want you to come. If you're struggling with substance abuse or pornography or whatever it might be, we want you to come to hear the truth, but we're never going to affirm you in sin. And so we make it very, very clear. We're standing for the scripture, and we want you to come and be a part of that, but we're not going to affirm sin. We're going to call it out, and we're going to, you know, the Bible gets us all back to true north, because we all have a tendency to drift from that, and it takes us back. When you preach the word, and in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction, that is what draws people back to, well, this is what the Lord says. This is how I'm supposed to live. So whether it's the mayor, whether it's the sheriff's, city council members, we want them to come and be a part of what the Lord is doing at First Baptist Texarkana.
And again, the message here is not, you know, endorsing political candidates. It's talking about values and voting your values and what you believe in and actually engaging the culture. Because Dr. Shreve, as we pointed out, I pointed out yesterday, the problem is an overwhelming number of Christians, evangelical Christians, are just not going out and voting.
Right. Yeah, that is that's a crime. You know, I remember a sermon I heard, Todd, years ago from Adrian Rogers, and he used the scripture, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar and render to God's the things that are God's. And he said, well, Caesar is your government, and your government spends a lot of money encouraging you to vote. They want your vote. So what should we do as Christians? We should render to our government what belongs to our government, and that is the participation in the political process. And as you said, you need to be informed. You need to know what this person stands for. And, you know, we start in the local level, and from there it goes out. But, you know, if we don't get involved, I shared this yesterday, all that is required for evil to triumph is for good people to do nothing. And if God's people don't get involved, well, who's left to make those decisions? It's the devil's crowd.
It's a great point. Well, Dr. Shreve, we're going to have to leave it there. We always appreciate you and the great work you're doing, not just in Texarkana, but really across the nation with your ministry. And again, thank you for just a great, great weekend at First Baptist.
Well, thank you, Todd. I appreciate you coming.
All right. Dr. Jeff Shreve, everybody, the pastor at the First Baptist Church in Texarkana. And let me tell you, I guess there were a couple of thousand people there yesterday morning for the service. Such a sweet crowd. You don't feel like you're in a mega church. You sort of feel like you're in a community church. And so many folks came over and said hello, and they listened to the program, and we were so blessed. And Dylan, I got to tell you, that brisket was pretty darn good. I'm just going to tell you.
It's hard to beat a Texas brisket.
Yes, and at the same time, to be serenaded by a piano player while you're eating, I should have put on a tie or something. Really wasn't a barbecue joint. It was a barbecue restaurant.
You needed maybe a fancy bib, not the normal South bib, just a fancy bib.
That's it. I will say this. The waitress came by, and of course, we're Baptists. So, you know, we're the only thing hardcore we drink is maybe sweet tea. Yeah. And so the waitress came over, and I guess somebody had ordered a Blue Moon. And have you seen those goblets that are like, you know, a gallon? It can fit like a gallon.
Yes, of, yes.
So the waitress comes, she goes, guys, would one of you just like this? And we were like, we're good. We're wow. good. And the pastor was like, what's a Blue Moon? So I think it came from the Smurfs.
Oh, no.
It came from the Smurfs. But all that to say, what a great day. And I know that in Memphis, for example, First Assembly of God, they invited Dr. Ben Carson and had a huge patriotic worship service. You know, yesterday at Texarkana, it was amazing. We sang some great songs and worship songs, and we I think they played an instrumental version of one of our great, you know, patriotic songs. There were flags all over the perimeter of the church, and there it was really fun to be in a church that was celebrating America. And I don't know, and maybe we should have asked Dr. Shreve why it is that so many churches nowadays are shying away from that because they don't want to offend people. My question is, who are you offending? Who are you offending in your church by having an American flag or noting that we are one nation under God? I mean, I don't get that. You know, it's not just another Sunday. This is a big anniversary for our nation, 250 years. And let me say this as we go to break. One of the untold stories, and I'm working on a new little project for young people, for our young conservative kids. One of the undertold stories is how Baptists and other Christians were influential in raising up an army to fight the British. And that is a story about our heritage. Now, I'm a person of the Baptist faith tradition, and it excites me to know that there were Baptist ministers back, you know, at 200 and over 250 years ago that were preaching about freedom and liberty from the pulpits. And unfortunately, we've got the descendants of those pastors are quite frankly, they're wet noodles. And that bothers me because we need to have boldness in the pulpit. And I say, good for you. If you were at a church yesterday that was celebrating this incredible birthday of America, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Just got a note from our friend Sydney. He says, Todd, hey, we sure had a patriotic service at Lancaster Baptist Church. That's in the high desert of California, the Antelope Valley. We sang a patriotic melody. Medley, we sang God Bless America, and of course, we sang the Star Spangled Banner. Nothing wrong with that. Hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back, everybody. It's the Todd Stearns Radio Show, and coming up, we're going to be talking with Wendy Patrick from Newsmax, also Jackson Heberlin and Michael Wilson are going to be joining us. A great panel discussion coming up in Seattle over the weekend, Dylan, a pretty disturbing situation. They had the big gay pride parade, and they had a bunch of people walking around butt naked. And I'm just going to say this. Most of the people that are in those pride parades need to be wearing clothes in public.
Yeah.
It's
enough said.
Yeah, we're not talking about Sports Illustrated swimsuit models here.
No, they missed their chance there, so this is what they have.
Yeah. Yeah, they should have backed up away from the buffet a couple of years ago. That's just the reality of it. We don't judge here.
It's like how we prepare for the beach. They don't prepare for the pride parade.
No, and they really should. And there's nothing worse than seeing, you know, those pasty white butt cheeks plastered, really stuck onto the banana seat, right, yeah, of the bicycle.
Always the bicycle. Like, that cannot be comfortable.
No, and you got to worry about it. I mean, God forbid you get something stuck in one of the spokes there. That's not good.
A real problem. Underneath.
You're going to be singing soprano in the gay men's chorus. Well, second soprano. So anyway, they've got all the we're going to be talking to Jackson and Michael about the buck naked cyclist who, by the way, were doing all of this. They were parading around butt naked in front of children. And I'm just wondering, why were these people not arrested? And why is it that you're allowed to do that in a gay pride parade? I don't care if it's a straight pride parade. You don't need to be wandering around buck naked, especially in front of kids. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. If you have not already done so, you still have time to pre-order a copy of my brand-new book. It'll be out August the 11th. It's called The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. And I am telling you, the reviews are starting to come in. People are loving the book, getting a lot of great feedback. We have a lot of endorsements. House Speaker Mike Johnson, Senator Marsha Blackburn, Congressman Marlon Stutzman, among many others, Pastor Jack Hibbs. And we are excited about the book launch. And we want you to be a part of that. We're going to be doing a nationwide book tour. We'll be telling you more about that as the dates come in. I know a number of radio stations have already reached out wanting us to do events, and we're going to try to get to as many as we can. So anyway, go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, wherever you get your books, and pre-order a copy or two. Real quick, I want to go to the phones. Before we had to take a break, we were talking about churches, and I'm just curious whether or not your church had some sort of a worship service where they mentioned the nation's birthday. Maybe there was some sort of a celebration or some sort of a comment about how we are one nation under God. Let's go to Jackson, Tennessee. Lucy is watching us on our YouTube channel. Hi, Lucy. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd. I love your program, and yes, I go to Englewood Baptist Church here in Jackson, Tennessee. I sing in the choir. We sang as a special, "Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. Glory, glory, hallelujah." And we also did "America, America the Beautiful." And my pastor, Dr. Adam Dooley, his whole sermon was on the founding of America and how it was founded on the Lord. And he quoted many of our founders and said that if we as a nation don't repent and get right with the Lord, that our nation is going to fall, that we are at a critical state right now.
Wow.
Awesome, awesome. He called on all of us to repent and to get right with the Lord Jesus.
Lucy, I love hearing that news. That just made my day. And this is the great Englewood Baptist Church there in Jackson, Tennessee. I am so happy that you shared that information with me. We'd like to hear from others. 901-260-5926. Lucy, thank you for calling in today. Thank you for watching us on our YouTube channel. There is an interesting story coming out of the New York Times. This is the headline: MAGA groups help Trump push cultural change in schools, which is somewhat laughable, seeing how it is the schools that have been pushing a radical cultural change on the rest of the nation. And the New York Times actually called out one particular organization that has initiated nearly a dozen civil rights investigations targeting diversity programs and transgender policies. That organization, called Defending Education, and I want to go right away to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, because we are honored to have the Vice President of Defending Education joining us today, Sarah Parshall Perry. Sarah, it's been a while. Good to have you back with us.
It has been a while. I always love being with you, Todd. Thank you.
All right. So, wow, clearly you have enraged the New York Times, which, Sarah, that means you have done something incredibly right.
I suppose that means that we're over the target. If we've initiated 12, almost 12 civil rights complaints, you know, that's a result of some good research and some good writing and some good law. And civil rights law is not a suggestion. It is a mandate. And if all of these schools accept so much as a dollar of federal funding, they are beholden to follow civil rights law. And you would be surprised, or maybe you wouldn't, Todd, because you are someone who has his pulse basically right on where the culture is right now. A lot of institutions of higher education seem to think that they can interpret civil rights law however they want, but the administration has other views on that.
You know, one of the cases I was not familiar with involved Smith College, which again is an all women's school, 151 years old. And my understanding is that one of the graduation speakers was none other than Dr. Rachel Levine, who is a former Biden administration official who also happens to be a man cosplaying as a woman.
That's exactly it. And in fact, Todd, it was that choice of commencement speaker when they also gave that individual, by the way, an honorary degree the same day that really ignited my curiosity into what was happening at Smith College. What were the policies for an all-women's college to make such a curious selection of commencement speaker? Well, sure enough, all it took was a very brief amount of digging before I discovered that, yes, indeed, not only does Smith College admit natal men who identify as women, but it does not admit natal women who identify as men. So make it make sense, Todd. In addition, all of the facilities are open to biological men who simply identify as women, which to my mind indicates that the moniker of women's college is actually misapplied. Be a co-ed college, but be honest about what you are.
That's a fair point. Wait, so if you're a woman who identifies as a man, that makes no sense to me.
It is, you're out of luck and you cannot apply to Smith College.
Unbelievable. All right, tell us what's going on over at Wellesley College. We understand they've got a big issue.
Yes, in fact, they do. In fact, remember, of course, that so much of this is the detritus of the Obama administration. Remember, under Catherine Lehman's leadership at the Department of Education Civil Rights Office, one of the parting missives of that administration was to open all facilities to any individual based on gender identity as opposed to sex. So we saw the inculcation, the creep of gender identity into public education way back in about 2014 and 2015. Well, sure enough, just like Smith College, Wellesley College also, since 2015, has been admitting biological males who identify as females. In fact, in the most recent U.S. News and World Report, as many as 1.7% of Wellesley students, and the population is very small. It is about 2,500 students in total. 1.7% or more of those students are biologically male. They have been admitted simply on their own self-professed gender identity. And by the way, just like Smith, they do not admit biological females who identify as male, but understand that females may transition to a male identity while enrolled at Wellesley College. It does indeed boggle the mind.
This is stunning. And according to their actual policies, any applicant who lives as a woman and consistently identifies as a woman would be allowed admittance to the all-women's college. You know, again, Sarah, we've seen these stories, and not so much in the education world, but definitely within the athletic world, where women are being denied opportunities, scholarships, positions on teams. I'm wondering, is this getting any better? Because I know the president put out executive orders, but I don't think people are actually paying attention to the executive orders.
No, you're exactly right, Todd. In fact, the country is roughly divided in half at this point. 27 states have specific segregation policies for biological sex in scholastic athletics. In fact, we are waiting, and it will be any day now. I am anticipating tomorrow or potentially Wednesday, a pair of cases on the constitutionality of two women's sports laws, one out of Idaho and the other out of West Virginia. Those are the pair of cases sitting at the Supreme Court right now. That will clarify a little bit whether or not sports must be separated by sex, but I do believe the court will not get to the question of whether Title IX mandates separation by sex. That's the reason that we're seeing California, Minnesota, and Maine on the pointy end of the spear for the Department of Justice. All three of those states have been sued for violations of Title IX.
So we're talking about, in many of these cases, we're talking about private schools, Smith and Wellesley. At what point how do you push back when people say, well, look, it's a private school. They should be able to do what they want to do. They should invite whoever they want to invite to be a student at that school.
You know, there's a great misunderstanding that private schools are not subject to Title IX or to Title VI or to other civil rights laws. But as soon as an institution accepts so much as a dollar of federal funding, that could be in the form of a Pell Grant or a student loan. It could be a research grant, or it could be an educational matching program. Any one of those facilities ultimately determines whether or not an individual institution is subject to civil rights law. And so, for example, Wellesley last fiscal year accepted $5 million in federal funding. In fiscal year 2024, they accepted over $12 million. They don't have to take federal research grants. They don't have to take student loans. But once they do, federal civil rights law attaches. And again, that is not a suggestion, but a mandate.
DefendingEd.org is the website, DefendingEd.org. Sarah, I want you to tell our listeners about Defending Education and the work that you guys are doing out there.
Yeah, I'm so proud to be a part of this organization. We are 5 years old, and our mission is to eliminate political indoctrination and return to excellence in American education. Listen, we understand we love our school choice friends. We love our private school and parochial school friends. But we also recognize that public education is a necessity for more than 80% of American school kids. We want it to work for every school kid, no matter what their religion or belief, their skin color, their gender, whatever their perspective is, it has to work for all of us. And unfortunately, right now, it's too politically indoctrinated. That is a function, as you and I both know, very much of the teachers' unions, but also because the bureaucrats in Washington have had a trickle-down effect with very bad policy. Our organization seeks to eliminate all of that and return to rigorous academic excellence.
All right. I love it. Well, clearly, you guys are upsetting the apple cart, and congrats on the big New York Times piece. So well done, Sarah. Sarah Parshall Perry, everybody, from Defending Education, defendinged.org. Go and check out that website. Check out the great work they're doing. Sarah, great to see you. I know we'll get you back on soon.
Thanks so much, Todd.
All right. There you go. Wow. That's terrific. You know, they got triggered. Well done. Well done, Sarah Parshall Perry. All right, we've got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. By the way, this portion of the Todd Stearns Radio Show brought to you by our friends at Newsmax. And a study finds 70% of Americans are not getting the full benefits that you deserve from Social Security. However, expert Michael Allen says there are five key strategies to increase your benefits by as much as $188,000 over a lifetime. It's all in his report. All you have to do is pick up the phone and give him a call, and Newsmax will send it to you right away. 800-999-9690. That's 800-999-9690. 800-999-9690. Text and data rates may apply. Welcome back. Dylan, what's the story? We have an update now. There's been a situation involving a guy getting arrested for what? Firing? What was he firing at the naked bicycle people?
His weapon of choice was the BB gun.
Oh, okay. So this has nothing to do with the Seattle situation.
No.
So apparently this is some sort of a big national thing, naked bike ride. Bike Riders Day. Hold on. Can I put a pin on that for just a moment?
Yes.
This just angered me out the wazoo yesterday. It's these cyclists. Do they think they're like, I don't know, a Jesus Christ or something?
Are you talking about the clothes cyclists?
I'm talking about the ones wearing clothes. Okay. They're just as annoying as the naked ones. So I'm driving on Wolf River Boulevard yesterday, all right? I'm tired as all get out. I drove back in from Texarkana. It was a 5-hour drive. And I'm exhausted. I'm like, why is traffic backed up? Now, Wolf River Parkway, that road, they have a bike lane, right? So you've got like vehicle lanes and then you have a bike lane. Guess what happens? If you're driving your car in the bike lane, guess what happens? you're going to get in trouble.
Yeah, not good things. Yeah,
no, you'll get pulled over, right? It's against the law.
Yes.
So these Yahoos are out there, and there was like 15 of them. They travel in herds, these bicycle people.
Yeah, there's never just one.
No, and you know what they're doing? They're riding in the roadway and not the bike lane.
Yes, because there's so many.
And they're so uppity.
They're very uppity.
They are just like, it's insane. And then they get all upset with you if you honk your horn, but you're having people, cars were having to like, they were having to, you know, jolt into the other lane because nobody wanted to get, you know, caught behind the bikers. But my question to you bike people out there, why aren't you using the bicycle lanes? That's what they are there for.
I feel so validated right now by what you're saying. I mean, I come across this problem so many times as well.
And, you know, most of them are like men in their 50s trying to, like, I don't know, become the next Lance Armstrong or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, which is fine, right? But it's like you have your own lane that we get pulled over for if we don't abide by that.
Exactly. And then right, exactly. And then if you are like at the park and you're trying to walk at Shelby Farm, this is where I walk. This may only be a Memphis problem, but I don't think it is. You're trying to enjoy a nice walk and you've got people, the bikers will use the pedestrian pathways to ride their little bicycles.
Yes, they will.
You've got a bike path. Why don't you use that? Because if you are a pedestrian and they will scream at you. I did that one time by accident. You're impeding the roadway! You're impeding the roadway! And he's like, and hold on, this is great. Because I do listen to music. I'm like, oh, you've got it in there. The little dinger, or hit the dinger. You know, hit that. Just hit it. No, do we have
I don't think I have a dinger.
No, the physical thing, the bell. Don't we have it?
Oh, the bell.
Where's the bell?
Oh, the bell's over here. It's very quiet. Hold on.
You got to put it up to the microphone and just keep. Hold on. Keep going. Keep ringing it. You're in the roadway. This is for bikers only.
Yeah.
That's how they are. All of them.
Probably had this bell.
All of them. And that's what that ding, 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 ding. You know, like they have a little dinger
it's
on there.
It's definitely not loud enough. So it's like if I have music in and you know this because you just said it, I can't hear that thing. I can't hear it. They are going to have to put it into a speaker, like put it up into an amp or something if you want me to know that you're coming to my right.
All I'm saying is I don't care if you're 55 years old and dress in spandex and ride a bicycle. That's between you and God. You know, the problem I have is when you are using the roadway when, in fact, you have a taxpayer-funded bike path that you should be using. That's all. Is that asking too much, Dylan?
I think you've validated a lot of people in Germantown, Tennessee, right now.
So irritates me,
and maybe like made a lot of bikers mad. Potentially,
yeah. I really don't care. So anyway, back to the situation in Los Angeles. They arrested a man after he shot naked people with a BB gun as they rode their bicycles through downtown Los Angeles. The poor guy said he didn't have very large targets. I just made that part up. Hundreds of people were spotted riding nude for World Naked Bike Ride. The LAPD says a guy dressed in all black riding a scooter started shooting the cyclist with a BB gun. Is there a place for us to donate money to this guy? Does he have a legal defense fund? I think I may want to contribute. Two people were hit. The man was taken into custody. People are calling the guy a hero. World Naked Bicycle Day. Maybe that's the only good part about yesterday's story is that people were clothed to some extent. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Happy to have you with us. So a lot going on at the Supreme Court today and some wins and some losses, but the losses are pretty big for conservatives. So to help us figure all of this out, our good friend Wendy Patrick, who is a career trial attorney and a Newsmax columnist. Wendy, good to see you. Hope you had a great weekend.
I had the same weekend you did, Todd, just anticipating today and tomorrow. What are the decisions going to say?
I know. Yeah, tomorrow may be a very difficult day for us. Today, not too happy with the Supreme Court ruling. Of course, Amy Coney Barrett and the Chief Justice siding with the liberal judges. And this it concerns me that election integrity may be in the crosshairs. Walk us through what the court decided to do today.
Yeah, well, it's a great example of how the Trump administration doesn't win every case in front of the U.S. Supreme Court. You know, much as he gloats over rulings that go his way, like last week, he had a lot of big wins. But this was not one of them. It was a 5-4 decision, as you mentioned, to the conservatives sided with the liberals. But what they're basically looking at is what was the question before it? The question was whether federal election statutes barred states from making their own election laws. Now, we all know different states have different manners of conducting elections. Here in California, we wait patiently as day after day ticks by after election day because we don't count the ballots right away. And other states have the same frustration, shall we say, because, Todd, what happens when days continue to pass and elections are still up in the air? That gives plenty of time for people to become distrustful over the process. However, the court pointed out that's not the litmus test. It's whether or not you're allowed to have states making their own election laws, and you are. So one of the things that we can expect moving forward with a ruling like this is obviously the president pivoted back to the SAVE Act. Are there other ways in which we can ensure the integrity of elections, which should be a bipartisan passion?
And again, when you talk about, you know, integrity at the ballot box, a lot of that also involves the number of foreigners that are voting tomorrow. Of course, birthright citizenship. I've been hearing from a lot of people who say it doesn't look good for the White House here. What are you hearing about birthright citizenship?
It doesn't look good for the White House. And I have to say, I'm going to argue this both sides of this. On the one hand, the 14th Amendment says what it does. It talks about people born on American soil. The president is saying, yes, but you also need to be subject to the jurisdiction of America, just like you are if you commit a crime here. So it's going to be a real uphill battle. But arguing on the other side, Todd, I wonder what the court's going to say, having agreed to take it up. People like me love reading a good dissenting opinion. I'm sure you do as well. I would love to see what the different justices have to say on this, and whether or not there's anything in the rationale or even a dissenting opinion today that may show up in the majority opinion tomorrow. So it's one of those blockbusters that I think is going to have a little bit on both sides. But ultimately, at the end of the day, I do agree with a popular opinion that it's not going to go the president's way.
You know, isn't it amazing? Meanwhile, you've got, you know, these huge battles going on, even just within the Republican circles, about what to do with the illegals. The president got a good ruling on the Haitians, who, by the way, were only allowed to stay here for 18 months. That was back during the Obama administration, and many of them are still here. And yet you've got Republicans, including the governor of Ohio, who is saying, hey, look, these people deserve to be here. I want to play this audio. This is from Ohio Governor Mike DeWine on why we should not be deporting the Haitians. Take a listen.
Governor, you just heard Secretary Mullen defend the decision. You say it's a mistake. What's your take?
Well, I think it's a mistake for a number of reasons. First of all, to go back to what you were just discussing, you cannot fly into Port-au-Prince today. U.S. carriers are prohibited from going in there. They've extended that ban. Federal officials in the United States have extended that ban into September now. And, you know, it's been there for a long time. The reason they can't go in there is because these gang leaders who control a good part of Haiti today shoot at the planes when they come in. So that's certainly one thing. You've pointed out, advisories, heavy advisories. U.S. citizens do not go into Haiti. It's a very, very dangerous place. Just this last week, several more school children were killed just because gangs were shooting back and forth. The gangs control a significant part of Haiti. So it is clearly not safe. Anybody who has followed Haiti over a long, extended period of time knows that it's worse than it has, frankly, ever been, and certainly in recent memory. But the other point is it is not in the United States' interest, certainly not in Ohio's interest, to have people who are working every single day, who are supporting a family, who are buying houses, fixing up old houses, starting businesses, and then put deep roots in this country and really are contributing and yank them out. I mean, look at what the mayor of Springfield says. Mayor says that is a huge, huge mistake. They're contributing. Rob Rue says they're contributing greatly. Mistake to do that. I would cite also the two Ohio congressmen who have probably the most Haitians, Republicans who have the most Haitians in their district, voted in favor of the extension of TPS. So what I would hope that the Trump administration would do is reconsider this. Look at how it's going to impact states like Ohio. In Ohio, the Haitians are working primarily in manufacturing. They're also working in the food area. But if you look at where they're working across the country, probably the most important area they're working is in healthcare. It's Haitians who many times are taking care of your mom or your dad who has Alzheimer's, taking care of family members who might be in a nursing home. And to say we're going to pull all of those out, it's just not in our own self-interest.
Wendy, I did not hear a valid argument coming out of the governor. What say you?
You know, Todd, I was thinking how gracious you were allowing that tape to just play out, because that has nothing to do with the rationale of the court's holding. Basically, the court was saying, you know, the President Trump is able to terminate these humanitarian protections for however many people are implicated. Federal law prohibits courts from second guessing the administration's determination of which countries were too unsafe to deport people to. It's not about who works where, or whether or not there are different measures of whether or not a different country is safe today, tomorrow. Obviously, the president cares about that. Remember, he's looking at that right now with respect to the two Venezuela earthquakes. But that's not the issue before the court. This was a temporary protected status, not permanent. TPS, not PPS. And that has to be what politicians should be focusing on. The one thing he did say that sort of made my ears perk up right there in the middle is, you know, he can appeal to the president to make a different decision as to the timing of when people are deported, where, what countries are safe or not safe. The Supreme Court was saying they don't have the authority to second guess that determination. That was the holding.
All right. Wendy Patrick joining us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. Wendy, going back to the Supreme Court, of course, birthright citizenship tomorrow. I think it, you know, again, the argument, and I believe it was Justice Alito who pointed out that this is why you would need something like the Save America Act to ensure that the ballot box is protected on Election Day.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and, you know, the birthright citizenship case is so emotionally charged because, I mean, babies are precious gifts from God. They are the focus of this act when you think about it in human terms. Yet, the 14th Amendment says what it says. And so when you think about the way this is going to be implemented, that the president is probably not going to win, you pivot back to the Save America Act, and we realize why this case is such a blockbuster. If it were to come out differently, if it were to come out in Trump's favor, you would have a lot less need, according to the administration, in really shoring up elections. Now, I'm not convinced that everybody is going to see the administration's loss tomorrow as a reason to vote for the Save America Act, but at least it gives the Trump administration something else to argue regarding its importance. And that is also doubly true now in light of the ruling we had today that basically says, hey, it's okay. This grace period post-election is okay as long as ballots were received by Election Day.
Wendy, I just have to read this to you and get your opinion. So this is a cold take. Louisiana Senator Bill Cassidy, people are now just demanding that the Senate do something about the SAVE Act, which is between you and me, I don't think that's going to happen. But anyway, Senator Cassidy telling CBS News on Face the Nation, quote, there are not the votes to pass the SAVE Act, but he doesn't think that should be a priority. And that to me tells me everything we need to know about what's happening in the Senate right now. I think these senators actually think they are more important and their priorities are more important than those of the President of the United States.
Well, that is corroborated by what we see occasionally when we have, occasionally you probably would say frequently, when we have these televised hearings where the questions of whoever happens to be testifying are just speeches and statements. And sometimes they're speaking to their constituents or Democrats would say, you know, Republicans are speaking to the president, but that shouldn't be the case. It should be more of a bipartisan process, like it is with some measures that are uncontroverted. Do you know the Supreme Court even has unanimous opinions? They had something like 24 unanimous opinions since October. Nobody talks about that because that's not, you know, the sexy ones are the ones that are ideologically divisive. But it's the same thing in the Senate. It should be about reaching consensus that benefits the constituencies, not simply about voicing opinions when you know they're going nowhere. If a bill is dead on arrival, maybe we should be spending our time arguing over something that we maybe can reach more consensus.
Well said. All right, Wendy, we're going to leave it there. Always appreciate your great analysis. As always, good to hear from you.
Thank you, Todd.
All right, Wendy Patrick, everybody. Got to go all the way back to 2010. When 18-month temporary protected status was given to the Haitians after the earthquake, right? That was the 2010 earthquake, and they were provided 18 months of temporary protected status. They should all have been sent back home after the 18-month TPS had expired. Meanwhile, 16 years later, here we are. So, ladies and gentlemen, what do you think ought to happen? By the way, Homeland Security Secretary Mark Wayne Mullen catching huge fire because he's saying that all of these people have the right to apply for citizenship now. How about this? Go back home to Haiti and you can try to come here like everybody else and do it the legal way. I don't understand what happens to these people once they get inside the Beltway. Maybe, just maybe, the administration and maybe Congress doesn't seem to understand that the American people are fed up here. We're tired of paying for all of these bills for these illegal aliens. We're tired of it. And especially when American citizens are going without. And that's the rub for me. Look, just hear me on this. Just hear me for a second. It would be one thing if every person in America was taken care of. If every American citizen was not living in poverty, if every veteran had a place to live and was cared for, it would be an entirely different story. Then we would be able to maybe help other people from other countries. But that's not the way it is. We've got people here that are denied help, denied assistance, because those resources are being used to take care of illegals. And that is not right. All right, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, well, the New York Times has a piece out, a scathing report on their former NFL insider. The story involves Diana Rossini. And there's been a bit of controversy between Rossini and ESPN. All sorts of crazy stuff. Apparently, she got pulled over by a cop. And to get out of the ticket, she decided to FaceTime the police officer's favorite NFL team's head coach. This is crazy. And it apparently worked. Rossini asked the officer, "Do you want to talk to the coach?" And sure enough, that's what happened. So she FaceTimed the head coach. The head coach was in his office, said, "What's up?" She said, "I just got pulled over, and I wanted you to meet my friend Officer Joe." So anyway, now she's catching a lot of fire for this. I don't know if she was trying to get out of a ticket. The cop still could have given her a ticket. Seems to me that's on the cop and not necessarily her. I mean, in all seriousness, though, when you get pulled over, you're going to do your best to get out of the ticket.
Yeah, you know who I'm calling? You.
No, don't do that. No.
Why not?
No, I'm going to tell you why. So years ago, I was in a state, and I won't say which state it was, and I was speaking at a church, and I had a flight, and we were running late for the flight, so the pastor and his wife were going to drive me to the airport. And he was exceeding the speed limit. And so they got pulled over. And so I'm in the back seat. And so the pastor said, "Officer, I have Todd Starnes from Fox News in the back seat, and I'm trying to get him to the airport to catch a flight. And he was trying to explain why he was speeding. And he said, I'm sorry, but who? He said, well, Todd Stearns from Fox News Channel. And the officer said, I only watch CNN.
Ah.
Cop got it. Yeah. Pastor got a ticket.
So you're saying I need to call someone a little bit more neutral.
In Memphis, I would. Yeah. It's a blue town.
That's fair enough. I mean, I think she just did what she had to do. And it is on the cop because it depends on what she did. She's just speeding. Is that the thing?
I think so.
Okay.
Here's the thing. I would have, if I were the cop, I would have like, yeah, let's FaceTime. And then I would have given her a ticket.
Yeah. You get both of them.
Mm-hmm. I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
But yeah, you get pulled over. You're doing everything humanly possible to get out of that ticket. I'm just saying. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I'm going to play this. I'm going to play this audio. This is from a Portland Mennonite church inviting the congregation to receive queer fairy dust. It's kind of like like you would do communion. They're doing a fairy dust blessing. Take a listen.
This morning, we'll invite all of you who wish to come to receive a glitter blessing. And if some of you are like, oh my gosh, this is so queer, yup.
That's so gay.
This is a tradition that I learned from my queer Mennonite elders and early queer Mennonite theologians, John Linscheid and Ken White. This fairy dust or glitter dust is a combination of glitter, dried flowers, and dirt from significant places in their lives. This blessing is an invitation for you to join the ancestors before you who said, Hineni, here I am, boldly and proudly. And I think Blaine is going to give us some instructions for the morning.
Blaine? Hello!
Okay, hi again, everyone. So, we're going to do something similar to how we do communion. We are going to do five stations, right? There's plenty of us here. We'll get through it fast enough, I hope.
Oh, my. I'm sorry. I just can't. What are they going to do, sing Somewhere Over the Rainbow? Is that the doxology?
You got it right on the point, yeah.
Somewhere over the rainbow. Just poop fairy dust all over the place. Holy cow. What is going on in the Mennonite church, ladies and gentlemen? Jeez-a-loo. All right, hang tight. Hour three coming up next.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
Settlers, that's right. I love this American ride.
All right, welcome everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us. By the way, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That number again, 901-260-5926. So, an interesting situation developing over in the great state of Texas, where I just was. The Democrats meeting this past week, and they made an interesting pronouncement. They're dealing with this James Tallarico fallout, which is all very, very odd. So anyway, Benjamin Flores took to the microphone and told the assembled crowd there, the Texas Democrats, that they need to be defending James Tallarico. Let's take a listen, please.
Next time they say that James is trans, we're all trans. When they say James is a gay, tofu-eating vegan, we're all gay, tofu-eating vegans. And when they say James is going to hell, we'll say we're all going to hell. put jokes on them.
Yeah, I don't think so, pal. I mean, I'm not sure anybody wants to brag about going to hell, but the Democrats said they're all going to hell in Texas. So there you go. I want to bring into the conversation our good friend Michael Wilson, who is the host of Patriot Talk 920, a great radio station, our affiliate in Houston. Michael, good to have you with us. Well, at least they're at least they're honest about it, I suppose. What say you?
Yeah, I mean, it reminds me, I had a friend who I did debate with when I was in high school. It wasn't really a friend. It was more of an acquaintance. And when he left, it was pretty wild because he kind of went out kind of insane, going with leftist principles and ideologies. He kind of became a self-proclaimed communist of sorts. And I remember he posted one time the thing that really made me realize how bad things had gotten. He said, the Christians keep saying that Satan's the one pushing this LGBT stuff, and Satan's the one that's for trans rights and gay rights and all this stuff. He said, well, then I guess I'm a Satanist. And I said, I think you've lost it, buddy. I think that you've kind of gone insane. And I think that's where we're at with the Democrat Party now. It's not even that they necessarily care about any of this. It's that they've gone so radically insane that their only option to combat real Christianity is to just come out and say this sort of stuff.
You know what? I think what we're going to have to do here, Michael, we have got a pretty bad connection. So we're going to try to reconnect, guys, and let me know how things work out there. But again, that's Michael Wilson over on Patriot Talk 920 out of Houston. You know, one of the other stories that we've been following is the situation in Texas with the Bible stories. And one of the great things about what Texas is doing here when it comes to the Bible stories and mandating Bible reading in public schools, this is not, we're not talking about theology here, right? That's not what we are talking about. We're talking about giving young people, children, an introduction into the Bible, which, by the way, was crucial to the founding of our nation. The teachings and the precepts of the Holy Bible were the foundation that the entire country was built upon. So for us to come out and say, well, you know what, those precepts and those teachings don't matter anymore, that's just simply outrageous. And again, John Adams, our second president, our Constitution, wholly inadequate for anyone other than a moral and religious people. And I know the Democrats are having a meltdown, but I want to go through and give you an idea of what the children are going to be exposed to. This is a grade-by-grade list of the Bible story. So, for example, in first grade, the boys and girls are going to learn the story of Jonah and the whale. In second grade, they're going to learn about David and Goliath. And in third grade, Daniel and the lion's den. In fourth grade, they're going to learn about the necessity for humility. The necessity of humility. In fifth grade, they're going to learn about Moses and the burning bush and the parting of the Red Sea. And in sixth grade, they're going to be learning about not being anxious, Matthew chapter 6. In eighth grade, they're going to learn that for everything there is a time and a season, the book of Ecclesiastes. And going all the way up to English, in which I guess is senior English, the definition of love, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So here's the deal. And again, this all goes back more than 300 years. So for even before America became America, they were using the Bible and they were mandating Bible reading for students in schools. Thomas Jefferson, serving as the president of the first board of trustees for the public schools in Washington, D.C., they not only used the Bible, but they also used hymns written by the great hymn writer Isaac Watts as reading text. Dr. Benjamin Rush actually wrote an essay. He was one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence. He was a well-known physician, and he wrote an essay titled A Defense of the Use of the Bible as a School Book. He wrote these words, "We profess to be Republicans, and yet we neglect the only means of establishing and perpetuating our Republican forms of government, that is, the universal education of our youth in the principles of Christianity by the means of the Bible." Here's what Noah Webster wrote in 1788, on the education of youth in America. It comes from his 1788 essay on the education of youth in America that his wish is not to see the Bible excluded from schools, but to see it used as a system of religion and morality. So the folks in Texas are not doing anything new. They're going right back to the roots of our founding fathers. All right, I want to bring back in Michael Wilson. I think we've got him back. So Michael, I just, again, I don't have a problem here with what the schools are trying to do.
No, I don't either. And if I can be honest for a minute, if you look back even to the English common law, this would have been where we got a lot of our stuff. You said 300 years, but you can go back over 1,000 years and see Anglo-Saxon common law. As soon as the nations were largely converted in Europe, we already had the makings of law coming from the Bible. And so you can't not only study American history, you can't even study the study of Western civilization at all if you don't have scripture as the bedrock of those things. And so it's not necessarily religious teaching, though we could have a separate conversation on why I think that would be acceptable for us to say. The reality is that historically, if you want to be literate at all, it requires that you teach the Bible.
Look, I think you're absolutely right. But again, within the context of the United States, and I know the left is out there saying, well, you know, this is raising Christianity above Islam or any other religion. Well, yes, it absolutely is, because our nation was not founded on Islamic teachings. It was founded on Judeo-Christian teachings.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be like going to a Muslim country where they teach the Quran in all of their schools and telling them, well, this elevates Islam. They would just look at you like you were insane and say, well, of course it does. That's what we are. I think America has become embarrassed recently of our Christian heritage, our Christian history. And embarrassed or not, that is the fundamental reality of who we are as a people. And if you want to get literacy back in schools, if you want to teach actual history, you can't do that if you don't teach the Bible well.
Michael, I want to bring your attention again to these crazy stories. Over the weekend, you had a lot of naked cyclists that were parading about in front of kids in Seattle, other cities as well, I believe Los Angeles. And yet, I mean, you've got kids there. And the police are not arresting anybody. They're turning a blind eye. And I think there are a lot of people who wish they were blind after some of the things they saw parading around in the streets.
Yeah, I saw a post from Andy Ngo, who said, what's going on in Seattle? And it said graphic content. And I thought it was going to be something. So I clicked view post. And I was flabbergasted at what popped up on my screen. I could not believe what I just witnessed. And I'm not a child, but even for me, it was a traumatizing moment. It's insane. I don't think it's coincidental that at the same time that you have this cultural attempt to eradicate Christianity, you also have the most insanely depraved things happening in the most liberal of cities. I don't think that's coincidental at all. I think that we used to have social standards, and those standards were largely driven, even if not by the law, if by a cultural sense of duty to be good people. And that has all but disappeared, especially in these super liberal cities. And again, I don't think it's coincidental that you're not seeing this in the more conservative rural areas. You're seeing it in the liberal areas. And that's because that's where the social system has eroded so fantastically to where you're electing socialist, communist, Ugandan-born crazy people in New York City and having naked bike parades, which you've had for a while, but you have it in Seattle. I don't think that's a surprise.
No, not at all. Want to move on to another quick topic here. I got two reports now. There's an HOA in San Diego County told people after 20 or 30 years of displaying the American flag, they're not allowed to fly the American flag anymore. And then in a Massachusetts town, residents were warned about displaying American flags on their property because it might pose an environmental hazard for wildlife. What say you?
I think that if you go back and you look at the history of America, we've always actually been, and I say this often about the right, you know, the left wants to kind of coin the term environmentalism as their own sort of standard and say that the right wingers are anti-environmentalism. I would point to Teddy Roosevelt and I'd say, actually, right wingers have long been the bastion of real environmentalism in America. We actually do believe in environmental values, just not in the insane radical ways the left does. And we've never, ever, ever had a problem flying our flag and making that work alongside environmental issues ever. And again, we talk about coincidences. I do not think that it is wild to assume that these are coming out of super crazy liberal states where they're pushing this sort of nonsense like you can't fly the flag all of a sudden in 2026 after 250 years, by the way, of doing so with little to no problems.
Newbury, Massachusetts, they sent out a letter to residents ahead of July 4th saying that the American flag endangers birds and can lead to penalties. So now there are a lot of folks wanting to put together some sort of a legal defense fund in the event somebody gets punished and fined for flying Old Glory. Michael, this is what concerns me, is that after Donald Trump, I think we go back to life as normal in this country. And I think that, unfortunately, we have not been able to undo enough of the damage that the left has done in the United States.
Yeah, and I will also say, I think this highlights the level of divisiveness in our country as well, Todd. Not only are we going to go back to life as normal, but normal, I think, means an entirely different thing, not only from Trump, but also after COVID timeframes and a lot of the propaganda that people woke up to as a result of the COVID propaganda. And I think you see a sort of delineation between two different groups of people. You have the left and you have the right. And before, even before Trump, before COVID, it was relatively easy to kind of live together, even though there were some insane disagreements. Nowadays, you have the right even more, possibly more because of Trump and because of everything that happened, possibly even more patriotic than ever before. And you have the left who's less patriotic than ever before. And so you now have the left saying no American flags, and the right is more incentivized than ever to put up American flags. And I think it's just going to continue to balloon like that until I don't know what happens.
All right. Well, Michael, we're going to have to leave it there, my friend. Good hearing from you, and keep up the great work. You guys are running and gunning down there at Houston now on Patriot Talk 920.
I know. We're doing everything we can to keep making Houston a better place. I remind everybody, Houston used to be a right-wing city. We were Republican until like 2017. And so we're only a decade into this nonsense. 9 years, not even a decade into this leftist nonsense. I still think we have a massive shot at taking that back.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. All right, Michael Wilson, everybody, on Patriot Talk 920. We're going to have to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. Welcome back, everybody. 901-260-5926. Let's go to William in Morehead City, North Carolina. Wants to weigh in on Betsy Ross. What's going on, William?
Hey there. I heard about this mess just now. I've got family up in Needham, Massachusetts, and we have in our possession, and I don't necessarily own it. Our country owns it.
Okay, all right. We can barely understand you. Can you just kind of speak into your phone there, William?
There we go. We have one of the original 13-star Betsy Ross flags, and I fly it. And if somebody tells me I can't fly that flag, they're going to be on the fighting side of me. We've flown this flag in my family for over 250 years.
Wow.
Before we were, yes. And I fly it to this day.
Is there somebody telling you not to fly the flag?
Well, I heard that thing about it could interfere with wildlife. And that there's nothing. This bothers me a lot because we've always lived by the principle, whatsoever you do to the least of these, and that means birds, critters of any sort, that's so you do unto me. And that's just silly that somebody would say you can't fly the American flag. That, to me, that is just, and these socialists, I can't understand what it is they are trying to accomplish. You will not. You won't run us out, and you won't run us down. You know, I think the British learned that a long time ago, didn't they?
Well, it's a fair point. Look, at the end of the day, there's no way an American flag is a danger to wildlife. Not in birds, it doesn't really matter. These are people that just hate America, and the reality is, and there's actually NBC News has a story about this, and they're saying that more Americans, more Democrats, hate America and the American flag more than any other time in American history. William, thank you for the call. According to a report from NBC News, to fly or not fly an American flag, that was never a question for Bruce Watson, who had put his national pride on display for years and nudges neighbors in a small New England town to do the same. He says, I'm very proud of our flag. It's the symbol of we the people. But as the polarized nation marks its 250th birthday, Mr. Watson worries his stars and stripes may now need an asterisk. If we do fly the flag, we will also put out signs to make it clear we are not MAGA. What does that have to do with anything? And by the way, what is wrong with MAGA? MAGA stands for Make America Great Again. Who opposes that? And I want to know, why do you oppose making America great? The American flag is a symbol stripped with many meanings. Whether it's hung on front porches, waved in parades, protests, and World Cup marches or matches, or stamped on lapel pins and boxing trunks. Like so much else in American life, it has also been tangled up in politics and the policies of President Trump. How so? NBC News asked readers to share their feelings and practices around the flag, suggesting that patriotism, national pride, and optimism are all frayed. Yeah, it's because of the reporting of NBC News, among other places. Anyway, I'm just curious, ladies and gentlemen, do you still fly the American flag? Are you proud to be an American? 901-260-5926, our number. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, let's go back to the phones here. Foy in Gainesville, Georgia, WDUN, our great affiliate there. Hi, Foy, what's on your mind?
Hi, Todd. I have a lot of things on my mind, but you opened your program today saying how were our churches going to be celebrating. My church in Flat Creek Baptist Church in Gainesville is having our celebration the day after the 4th of July, July the 5th.
Oh.
And my senior adult choir, which calls itself the Golden Corral, is going to be singing a patriotic medley. And also, we're going to do the Lee Greenwood song, and our new minister of music is going to do the solo part at first.
Oh.
And so we hope it'll be a blessing to people. We do love our country and this part of Georgia. I've loved it from the time I was a little girl, and I still recall when my sixth grade teacher one morning said, we always had the Pledge of Allegiance, and she said, today, children, we're going to add something to our Pledge of Allegiance. And so we did. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The under God was added to that several back in the, I believe it was either about the 50s or 60s. Anyway, I remember it happening, and her name was Miss Edith Manning. And I've tried to teach children through the years, being a school teacher and a teacher at church, to love God and to love our country. And most of all, most important, is loving Jesus, who is the Son of God. And so we do that every time we meet with children. And also, I thought about this song just a little earlier today. You remember the old popular song called All the World Needs Now is Love, Sweet Love?
Oh, yes.
I think that what the world needs now is Jesus. And we need to continue telling the story of Jesus and his love for us, because he died for all of us. And everyone, every race, every person. And so I just wanted to share all of that with you and tell you how much I enjoy listening to you every day. And you always have so many good things that come on, and it's a blessing. It's a blessing to me, and I have a lot of friends who tell me that they listen to when we chat with each other. So I believe that's all. I've got other things on my mind, but let's just stop with that today, okay?
Ms. Foy, I love it. You self-edited, as they say, and but what a wonderful word of encouragement and guidance. And it's been a long time. I'm glad you called in, and it's great to hear your voice again.
Thank you, Todd. It's a joy to hear yours. Thank you so much.
All right.
Have a great 4th of July.
Well, you too. Ms. Foy, a great lady there in Gainesville, Georgia, and some of the sweetest folks in America there in Gainesville, Georgia. By the way, Dylan, you got big 4th of July plans.
I'm going to be hitting the pool for sure.
All right. Yeah. Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
It's set to be a hot day.
Yeah. But. So your uncle will be, I'm assuming, overseeing the fireworks again in Germantown. So
yeah, they do it pretty big over there every single year.
It's a hoot nanny. I just pull much. Out, I haul out the lawn chair.
Yes.
I put it under the clock tower and I have a good evening.
We know the exact spot that you'll be at. Todd.
Exactly. So
it's the same every year.
I'm a creature of habit. By the way, I'm going to share this. A fella came up to. No, I can't share this story.
You have to now.
No, I can't share it now.
Okay.
I'll explain why. I know. I can't even do that. I'll tell you guys in the break. My apologies, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry about that. The State Fair, you know, the Great American State Fair is underway in Washington, D.C., and they've got they don't have all 50 states because some of the Democrats did not send in exhibits. The North Carolina exhibit's causing controversy because someone displayed a Confederate flag in the North Carolina state exhibit. But one of the things I've noticed, Dylan, as I've been watching all the TV coverage, there's nobody there. It's just like empty, no crowds.
I've seen that.
What's going on?
Yeah.
So they had the Ferris wheel, and then I realized there was no like midway. So you don't have the food trucks, you don't have the Pronto Pups.
Yeah, you need the stuff that's the fried stuff that's not supposed to be
the
fried.
The funnel cakes. Where's the funnel cake guy?
Yeah.
And this freshly squeezed lemonade guy that's really country time and
they're
pouring it in.
You should have taken care of the vendors here.
Yeah, that's the thing. You got to have the vendors.
Yeah.
Not so much the clowns or the little midget people, little people. But I'm talking about where is everybody? That's what I want to know.
It's a good question. I mean, should they have had roller coasters maybe? I don't know.
It was maybe a good idea, but sometimes you got to let the state fair do the state fair. I mean, where's the 500-pound cow made out of butter? That's what I want to know.
This is true. It's also a Monday. I don't know if that takes into account.
But it was on the weekend, too. What about the deep-fried Oreos?
Yeah.
Where are those?
Come on. Deep-fried, what else? Butter.
What is it? What's the freak show exhibits? What do you call them? The bearded lady?
They do need a bearded lady.
That's trans week. My apologies.
They can bring them out.
It used to be, right? You used to have like the bearded lady and the 1,000-pound woman.
Yeah.
And the guy, you know, I'm just saying, the tallest guy and the little short fella, midget little fella.
Yes.
And all those. Where are all those people?
It's a good question.
Where's the circus? Not the clowns. Those people freak me out.
No.
But what about the elephants and the tigers and the lions and the little monkey people?
Mm-hmm.
By monkey, I mean the little monkeys, like
the actual monkeys.
Yeah, the actual monkeys. Yeah. And they wear the little uniforms, and they they jump on people and
they throw things.
Exactly.
They throw poop. Actually,
you got to be careful in D.C. There's a lot of poop to sling. I sent Ben Dieter a text message, and I said, Dieter, what's going on? Because he likes to go running down through there.
Yeah.
And so I haven't heard back from him. But I'm like, where are all the people? Because the Trump administration says it's wall-to-wall people. And I'm like, where? Where? We're looking at the pictures. And I'll get hate mail again. How dare you? How dare you question the president's arithmetic? Those numbers are valid. There are so many people, you can't even see them. All right, whatever. I'm just saying it was a good idea in theory, but, you know, when you put it out there, it's just like, all right, what is it?
I mean, wanted to see a roller coaster going through the White House and then over the top, and then that would have attracted me.
Oh, do the loop-de-doop around the dome of the Capitol.
Yeah, why not?
Love that. Then it could go through like one of the bad parts of DC where people shoot at you.
It's an interactive ride.
Right? I like that.
I don't know. You know, we're throwing out great ideas here.
Maybe they should have consulted with us first.
I think so.
Who's our friend Jan, who's over at the Delta State Fair?
Oh, yeah.
You know, they do this. Like the corn on the cob. I just don't see people. That.
Turkey legs.
Turkey legs.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, you got to have the 70-pound turkey. Those are really ostriches.
They really are. I don't think that's a turkey. There's no way.
I'm just wondering. We could have given them a better. They just need some help.
Yeah.
That's all. I mean, they do a great job, but, I mean, let's get real. When you're talking about the Great American State Fair, that's getting redneck.
It has to be in the South.
And I don't think they do redneck very well.
No. We fry things that aren't supposed to fry here.
It's true. Well, I'll say this. I think the people up in the Midwest, they do really good jobs with their state fairs. Oh, here we go. So PBS, Public Welfare Broadcasting. So here we go. There was an exhibit featuring dinosaur bones. But again, you can go to the Smithsonian for that. Right? I just don't know. They got the 110-foot-tall Ferris wheel, and that's the only ride. That's it. I think that's the problem. You got to have more rides, and you got to have fried food. And I know RFK Jr.'s all Mr. Maha. There's no Maha at a state fair. Right?
Nobody's supposed to let loose at the state fair.
Nobody's eating salad at the state fair.
No. Unless it's like fried leaves, fried leaf salad.
So they had one of the exhibits was a dinosaur rib cage, and the other was a 7,000-pound sandcastle made with Jersey Shore sand. There are two rocking chairs and an unstamped booth, as well as a number of empty spaces. Jeez. They make it sound somewhat miserable, and that's what it looks like. There's just nobody there. Anyway, it is what it is, I suppose. The fair booths, all inside structures that resemble neoclassical architecture of the nearby National Gallery of Art, offered snippets of Americana to visitors. Montana had the rib cage of the dinosaur, which was what's called an apatosaurus, which is a cousin of the brontosaurus. Virginia's booth offered a journey through the state's role in American history. Boring. No, you got to have something fun. I mean, what's Virginia known for? Tobacco. So, okay, you're going to roll your own joints or something. I'm just throwing that out there. Texas included a space capsule, a facade of the Alamo, and a statue, Big Tex. Okay. The one place where there was a line outside was for Arizona's exhibit, which had an interactive exhibit allowing visitors to put themselves in terrain from the state. Which is kind of cool. So instead of like dying in the desert, you can pretend like you're in the desert when you're in fact in air conditioning.
Texas missed their chance at having a mechanical bull for sure, I think.
Oh, that's it. There should have been a mechanical bull.
I mean, you have to.
We should have had like bluegrass or something in like a bluegrass band.
Or it's like immersive.
Dollywood in the Tennessee booth.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there you go. Hawaii and Alaska did not have booths. They just had a couple of rocking chairs. That sucks. That's not good. Oh, however, some people were taking advantage of the rocking chairs to, take a load off. There you go. All right. Maybe the next anniversary they could put something together. I don't know. It's a missed opportunity. In my estimation, a missed opportunity. 901-260-5926. Let's go to Mike in Gainesville, Georgia. Hey, Mike, what's on your mind?
Well, thanks for taking my call, Todd. I don't think I can help you with a state display problem. But one thing I would like to say is that I think if we really are honest with ourselves and we look at the some of the irrational things that are being proposed for our republic and tearing it apart and imagining that somehow if we do such a thing that we'll have something better after that. That's not rational at all. Because we have it better than anybody in the whole world. We should be thankful for it. So what I would like to suggest is that we examine ourselves spiritually. We look at ourselves, and we're coming up on the 4th of July weekend when so many things are commemorated. Why don't we fast and pray and ask Almighty God to help straighten us out? Because I think we're in deep right now.
Well, we are in deep, Mike. And look, I hear you. I don't mind praying, but the fasting, I mean, we got burgers and hot dogs on the way, my friend. So that might be hard. But I hear what you're saying. And I think it's a great idea. You know, my concern here is there are people that hate America. They just hate who we are. And I feel bad for those people. Because you've got all these foreigners coming in for the World Cup. They love America. They love everything about us. And yet you've got people here that are so triggered by Donald Trump that, you know, they just want to, I don't know, burn our country down. And I don't know. I hope prayer works on those people, but I don't know. They're hard-hearted.
Well, Todd, I think if we don't have a sound spiritual foundation, that any other foundation we build will be very temporary.
Mike, it's a good word of warning to share with the audience, and thank you for calling in. That does remind me, Dylan, we should probably open up the phone. What is it that constitutes a good 4th of July spread? What do you got to have for the 4th of July?
Definitely burgers and hot dogs, in my opinion.
You got to have both.
Pretty simple there for me, yeah. But I mean, sides, I mean, I don't know, mac and cheese, fries.
Mac and cheese.
I don't know.
For a picnic? Or you got to do the potato salad.
Potato salad, yeah. Oh, mac and cheese would be hard.
What kind of potato salad? You got the mayonnaise-based potato salad, or you got the mustard?
Well, that's a different conversation. Mm. That would stir up a lot more people, actually.
Yeah, it could. But baked beans. You got to do the baked beans.
Yeah, well, now I'm thinking in terms of barbecue. So burgers, hot dogs, and then there could be some sort of barbecue going on there with the sides.
Mm. So I'm doing the bar. You know what? You know the secret to good baby. Get your what is it? The Bush's baked beans.
Yeah.
Get yourself some Williams. You got to get Williams hot sausage. Grant, you know, you got to fry up the sausage. Put that in there. Put in some bacon. You got to get some bacon and a little bit of the brown sugar, and you got yourself. Oh, and Sweet Baby. You got to get the Sweet Baby Ray's barbecue sauce. You got barbecue baked beans. Boom.
Sounds
there you
delicious.
Go.
That sounds really good.
What else? So you got to have the I love banana pudding, but there are some people that do the fruit pizzas, right, in the shape of the American flag.
Oh yeah, that's clever. Yeah, I mean, other than food, I think a good pool has to be nearby. I mean, maybe some cornhole, just some outdoor activities.
Oh, you got to have you got to have the deviled eggs. Deviled eggs. That's a must.
Well, you're outside, so you're not hurting anybody.
Yeah, that's just stay upwind. Anyway, all right. What is a necessity on the 4th of July picnic table? 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. All right. Is this true? Dylan, did you guys go to Topgolf over the weekend? The whole staff went.
This is true. We did go.
All right. Now, Ian claimed that he had never even seen a golf club. He didn't even know which end of the golf club to use is what he alleged.
Yeah, it took him 10 minutes to pick out a golf club.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. How did it turn out?
Todd, Ian won the entire thing.
Is that right?
At least one game that we played.
I think you guys got snookered.
I think he has a secret membership there under like an alias or something, and he's been going every single weekend just to train for this one outing.
So I'm just curious about Topgolf. Great experience going to Topgolf?
It is fun. It'll cost you a little penny if you're staying for over an hour. But
really?
It is very fun if you do like to let out some anger, maybe hit a few golf balls as far as you possibly can. Oh. That's what I'd kind of choose to do.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's a good group activity.
Okay, very nice. How did Helen do?
Helen did very well. I think she's a seasoned veteran. I'm probably the newest person. I've only been one other time, so Helen was doing well. They all beat me, mm-hmm. which, you know, kind of takes a stab at my, you know.
Manhood.
Just a little bit.
Just a smidge.
So I want to hit it very far. It's not about hitting it far there.
So Ian is the ringer.
He is. We didn't really get him a trophy or anything because he's still, you know, he's got to earn his
wow.
spot.
Wow. Well, there you go. I tried to tell you. I tried to warn you guys.
Yeah. I mean, where did it come from? Who knew? He's good at everything, apparently.
Apparently so. All right. Well, congratulations. Maybe he's our next PGA golfer there.
Probably.
All right, folks, we're back tomorrow, and we're gonna have a lot of fun this week as we get ready to celebrate our nation's great big birthday. By the way, ToddStearns.com, go and check it out. Lots of content for you there, ladies and gentlemen. In the meantime, get out there, stay cool, drink some iced tea, and you be good, America.